God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we receive this day, Lord God, with open hearts, Lord God, grateful hearts, Father. For, Lord, this is the day that you have made, Lord God, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for a morning, Lord God, where there's other people, Lord, in the world that they didn't wake up this morning, Father, but this day we did. So we're allowed, Father God, another day, Lord God, another opportunity, Father, to walk with you, to know you, Lord, to be part of your plan and your purpose in the earth at this time, Father God. So, Lord, we receive this day, Lord God, as a blessing from you, Father. We receive, Lord God, this day, Father God, as an opportunity from you. Lord, we receive this day, Lord God, looking forward with eager anticipation, Lord, for what you will do with and through your people, Lord God, that are in the earth at this time. And so, Lord, right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just commit this time unto you, Father. Lord, we bind every demonic spirit. We bind every hindering spirit. We bind, Lord God, every thought, Father God, that comes against the Lordship of Jesus Christ right now. Lord, we break it and we cast it out. And Father, we speak, Lord God, your life and your truth, Father. We pray, Lord God, completely for the 100% truth of your Holy Spirit, your word, Father. Lord, we seek your direction, Father God. We look to your Lordship. We look, Lord God, to your leading and guiding your sheep, your people, Father. We listen for the sound of your voice, Father God. And our desire is to have a will, Lord God, that's set to follow the words of your Spirit. So, Lord, right now, this day, Father, I just get out of the way. I yield to your Holy Spirit, Father God. And I pray that, Lord, that the words that are spoken are the words that you desire, Father. And, Lord, that they be life and truth. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. And completely, Father, we go on into it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, there's a couple different sides. One is, yes, we are nothing outside of Christ Jesus. We have the recognition and the realization that outside of Christ Jesus, we have nothing and we are nothing. And, you know, even Paul, when he was discussing his spiritual pedigree, when he was discussing his spiritual background before knowing Christ, he said, I count it all dung. But when you've stepped into Christ Jesus, when you've come into the kingdom of God, you all of a sudden realize, my goodness, you are a treasured possession of God. That you have immeasurable value. That all that this world has and everything this world will ever be, even in and of itself, is not even close to the value of just your soul alone. And so there's a flip side to understanding your true worth when you are redeemed by Christ Jesus. And sometimes I see people continuing to keep that same attitude of woe is me, I can't do this, I'm not worth what, like that. Stop. Because you also have power and you also have faith and trust that's been put in you by the Spirit of God. So like with the blind man that came to Jesus, and he said, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Said, Lord, I want to see. Other times people came to Jesus, Lord, what? And he says, according unto your faith, let it be done unto you. So your faith will in effect shape your reality as well. So if you believe you can't, you can't. If you believe you can, you can. Because God has put that power in you by His Spirit. So this is why too, even you remember Gideon, when the angel came to Gideon. And to Gideon, the angel said, mighty warrior. He called him a mighty warrior. And Gideon said, wait, I'm the smallest tribe, my family's the least in the smallest tribe. But God had to show him what the reality was of how he saw him. And when Gideon grabbed a hold of how God saw him, then his reality changed and he actually was a mighty warrior. He actually was something in the plan and purpose of God. So it's very nice that God has given us this. Because this is truth. And whatever you're thinking in your head is needs to line up with this. In order for it to be lined up with the life that God intends for you. So God gave you the word for a reason. Okay, so that being the case, let's look at the word for a little bit about some of the things. I think a little side note, but I think God wanted you to know that this morning. Don't let that voice in your head, because that's not you, that's something else. Don't let that voice in your head keep playing, telling you that you are not or cannot be what God intended you to be, or can't do what God told you to do. You need to get past that voice to the still small spirit, still small voice of the Spirit of God within you. Does that make sense? There's a voice in your head that's not you. There's, how many know that? Do you know that? How many of you know that? There's a voice, I'll stay on this for a second before. There's a voice in your head that's not you. It speaks to you in the sound of your voice. It's been there since you were 2 years old. And was one of the first voices that you heard. And that voice is the voice of your soulish man. And that's also why that the scriptures tell us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Because there's a mind that's in you that's not the one of Christ Jesus. And this, alright, let me tell you a couple of things how it might sound. You know that person over there? She didn't wave at me today. She saw me, she didn't wave. Didn't say hi. You know, How can you do this? You don't have enough. You don't have enough training. You don't have enough money. How can you possibly do this? I can't believe such and such said this about me. I will get them. Starting to sound familiar. It is starting to sound familiar. Or you look in the mirror. Ah, there's mother's boy. Shock, beautiful, no? No, it goes the other side too. It's not always telling you something bad. Okay, but ultimately, what is that voice? It's a voice that's not the voice of the Spirit of God. There's a still small voice of the Spirit of God inside the heart of every true believer. And that voice will line up with the Word of God, will line up with the truth of the Word of God. See, there are people that preach out of the Bible, but it lines up with the soulish mind. Those are false teachers. Deceitful workers. Servants of the devil. I'll go all the way. Servants of the devil. Yaksha ge sege. Yes? Yes. And you know what? You need to line up with the Spirit of God that speaks inside of you so that you can discern that which is from the Lord. And if you don't love truth, if you don't have the heart for what Christ is speaking, if you're not seeking that kingdom first, you will go off into the tangent. You'll be snared into the lie. And I see a lot of this going on right now. But Jesus said about His sheep in John chapter 10, He said, "My sheep know My voice, and they won't follow the voice of another." Okay, so let's go to John chapter 10. Nice segue into what I wanted to get into today. That was verse 4 where it said, "When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Okay, so we know and listen to and follow the voice of the Spirit of God. And those that are not of God follow the voice of strangers. Okay, another one. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Yes? So we follow truth. We follow life. Those are easy. Yes? So those are easy. So if somebody is not following truth, Jesus is the light that came into the world, yeah? So is someone's life in the light? Or not? Okay. So we seek that. We seek that genuine connection with the Father. Okay. Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay. Okay. So Jesus said that he's the door. Okay. The door to what? The door to what? Okay. If I go through that door, the far end, where am I going into? No, but what's there? What's inside there? There's, and what's in the room? Don't be so spiritual. This one's practical. What's in there? You're going into medical. Okay. So if you open that door, you're going into the medical clinic, yes? Okay. Is there another way into that room at this point in time? No. There's no other way into that room except that door. So that door is the only way into the medical clinic. And if you want to get something treated, if you want to be treated by our good physician, you have to go through that door. Ah, okay. So, Jesus is the door. To what? To salvation. Okay. We'll talk a little bit about salvation. But where are you going into if you go through that door? You're entering into what? True life. Okay. And I'll encapsulate that all into one thing. The kingdom of God. See, when you go through that door, now you enter into the king dominion of God. Alright, the word kingdom is two parts. Kingdom. King dominion. Dominion of the king. So now you enter in to a place where you are under the lordship of the king. So you receive your direction from an instruction from the king. Okay, so Matthew 6, the disciples' prayer that they were taught to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So the point there being that you in the kingdom of God, make a willful decision to yield your life to the lordship of the Spirit of God, who then instructs you and you act out of that instruction. So God instructs and we do. Okay? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you're really in the kingdom of God, you seek to and desire and long to obey the voice of the Spirit of God. And you seek to... Now Jesus is our high priest, yes? And in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, verse 9, it talks about us being a royal priesthood. A priesthood of all believers. So all of us are part of that priesthood of all believers. So Jesus, one door, one high priest, one way, one truth, one life, no other name by which men shall be saved. So one name. See, the world's talking about consolidation. God highly consolidated it. One thing. So how are you healed? In what name? What's the name? Jesus, yes. How is your life changed? What's the name? Jesus, there you go. So there is one name, one way, one high priest. So now that being the case, you come into and we come into the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you and I are a royal priesthood, a priesthood of all believers, where all of us from the head receive direction for the entire body, the messages that the head has for us. Okay, God did a beautiful thing for us in that you walk around every day with a living example of how even the kingdom of God works. So different parts of my body receive messages from my head. And now my head is in continuous contact with all of my body. So every cell in my body receives messages from the head to tell it what to do. Okay, right before I came here, I quickly ate something on the way out the door. Okay, am I consciously thinking about, okay, time to digest this, time to digest, and here it's in the stomach right now, leave it there for 20 minutes and then move it on. Yes? Am I thinking? Sorry, I have to clarify. Am I thinking about that? No. I'd be in problem. Yeah. Am I thinking about that? No, I'm not. I'm not crazy. I'm not thinking about that. Okay, so there are functions going on right now in my body that maybe I'm not conscious of while I'm conscious of other things. So so likewise for us, there are is an area that God has given you that you are aware of. And there's other things that are outside of your responsibility but are definitely being handled in the kingdom of God. Now, if my stomach chooses to not do what it's supposed to do, as the head is giving it that message, what will happen in 3-4 days? Will I have the strength to even pick up this Bible? It'll be much more difficult. And likewise, if the same arm that would struggle 4 days from now to pick up something because it didn't receive what it needed for energy, if it didn't feed me, if it didn't take that food from the countertop and feed and give that to the stomach to work with, then it wouldn't have what it needed today. So the body works together. One part does its part, the other part can do its part. And as each part does its work, as each part does the function that the Spirit of God is leading it to do, it works out to an amazing relationship that goes forward together. So that's why too, sometimes don't worry about what someone else is doing. If they are in connection with the Spirit of God, they will be doing what the Father has for them to do. Okay, for example, if you have someone who's an evangelist in your church. Now, you know how often, like if someone misses one Sunday service, everyone's calling the next day? Where were you, brother? Do you know that one? Yes? Yes, we're worried about you. We haven't seen you for 2 weeks. That's my preacher voice. We haven't heard you. Yes? That's my preacher voice. That's me. Okay, if he's doing his job as the Spirit of God leads him, you might not see him for 3 months. You might not see him for 2 years. Because he's out preaching the Word of God. And he may, the Spirit of God may bring him back 3 years later, and you may run into him then. And he will have carried out some amazing things as the Spirit of God would have led him. And he'll have a story to be able to tell that'll likely encourage your heart and build your faith. That wouldn't have happened if he was there every Sunday and every Wednesday night Bible study. And if you look through the book of Acts, you can see this time and again. So, the point being, just focus for yourself on your walk and your connection with the Spirit of God. Be true to your responsibility that God has given you in the kingdom. But also realize that your responsibility does not also include lording over other people. We have one Lord, which is Christ Jesus. And your responsibility includes encouraging and strengthening people to look to God for themselves. To learn to trust Him for themselves. And the world, what the world does is the world seeks to get people to depend on man. To depend on someone else to be their Savior, to depend on someone else to be their Lord. But the Spirit of God, He won't share His loyalty. Because God is also a jealous groom for His bride. So He won't share your heart with the world. Okay, because another thing that Jesus said again back in John 10 was He said that all that ever came before Me, in verse 8, all that ever came before Me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So all that ever came before, not some. Not most, but all. And again, Matthew 24, where Jesus said that many will come in My name. So many will come pretending to be your Savior. Pretending to have the solution to your problem. But in the end, they're all thieves and they're all robbers. You have one name. Which is? You have one salvation. Which name? Ah, yes. So anytime, and you know what people do too, they will use Jesus' name, come in His name as well, they will use His name to steer people unto looking unto themselves. Because His name has power. But when the veil of the temple was rent in two, when Jesus said, "It is finished," and the veil of the temple was rent in two, torn in two. There was now no separation in the spirit, in the realm of spirit, between us and God. Because the temple was a natural representation of a spiritual reality. So there was now no separation between us and God. But what man has done is man has gone and taken the needle and thread and quickly stitched that back up and stood in the front and said, "You still need Me." They've come and stood there and said, "Nope, nope, wait, 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 wait. You still need Me." I've got a special anointing from God. I've got a special word from God for you, brother. I've got the special prayer that will do the wonder. Always something that you are now lacking, yes? Ultimately, you're told this for what purpose? To get you to believe and put your trust in a man and not in Christ Jesus. You know, when people come to Me with a prophetic word,
then
You know something I've noticed? Is the Spirit of God will have witnessed that in my own heart. And even before that person spoke to me. And so he will already have said something in my heart and will be witnessing and confirming something in my heart, so that when somebody brings it to me, all it does is reinforces something that God is already speaking to me. So there's that testimony of two or three witnesses that just giving me that that additional just solidifying that yes, this is God and I can go with this. You have everything you need from God right now. You have everything you need from the Father this day to live in the kingdom. To live under the dominion of the King. Okay. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, so Jesus' purpose in coming in part was for us that we might have abundant life while we're here in the earth. While we're also here in the earth. You know, sometimes, again back to even what I started with, sometimes people, woe is me and let me just kind of hold on till maybe Jesus might come or I die. No, God intended for you to know what a full life is now. Okay, so what it is to walk free in this world, not in bondage. What it is to be able to live right now with I Am and not be bound by your past or so worried about the future. Okay, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. Okay, just something to think about. I want to shift a little bit, but go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And this speaking of the devil, it says, and the devil taking him up onto a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay, verse 5 through 8. Okay. Okay, so now, if you wanted to go through the door back there, you were going into the medical clinic. If you wanted to go through the door, Christ Jesus, you're going into what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Whereas if you're in the world, and you're in the system of the world, the world is about what? To rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Yes? So if the thief comes but only for to kill, to steal, to destroy, and that is what the world and the world system is about, and Lucifer, speaking to Jesus, says that he gives position in his kingdoms to whomever he wants to. Who do you think gets the highest positions in the kingdom of the world? Who gets the best positions in the kingdom of the world? The kingdom of the world, not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world, who gets the number one slots? Okay, people who don't believe in Jesus. Good start. So people who don't believe in Jesus, so people that have not bowed their knee to the kingdom of God, but have bowed their knee to the world and the system of the world, yes? Okay, you can also bow you can also serve yourself, and by serving self, you're also serving the world. But now, Jesus was offered a very real offer of all of it. You can be the big shot of every nation. Of every kingdom. Okay, so now, if you want to be the big shot of the big stuff, and if the thief come but for to kill and to steal and to destroy, who gets those positions? Would you be good at robbing, stealing, killing and destroying? Or would you be bad at robbing, stealing, killing and destroying? You'd be good at being bad. Yes. You would be good at being a slave to the devil. So the higher the rank in the system of the world, the more willing a slave and the more bound to the devil that someone is. So the devil doesn't want someone in a position of natural authority in his system that's also going to work with God's people and the kingdom, and that's not what he wants. He looks for good slaves. So on the low level is just people that are selfish and have given themselves over to self and to their carnality. And on the higher levels, these are those that willingly and knowingly reject the light and the truth and deliberately serve the devil and his This is demonic angels. So, okay, now here's... So now that you know this, outside of a very, very rare case of something like a Joseph or a Daniel. Because what happens too is sometimes what God will do is just... He will put somebody there, but look at all they went through to get to that position.
Then Daniel, Joseph, Gatto,
look at all the trial, all the testing, and even once they were there, they weren't left alone. So even after Daniel's there doing a good job, they want to now throw him into the lions den because he's not one of them. So, okay. Here's one of the issues that the world faces though. John chapter 15. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. But if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, so back to the doors. You go into the kingdom of God. And now you are connected to the source of life. The life of God flows through you. Jesus said that like rivers of living water, they flow through your belly. So Jesus Christ is the rock, the cornerstone. And just like that rock in the desert with the children of Israel, where the water came from the rock, the water flows through that rock and that foundation in us. Okay. But if you are not inside of the kingdom, if you're not in the vine, and you are outside, what are you like? Verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay. So, like a branch that's withered, so it's broken off from the vine and it starts to die. Okay, how many people have ever given someone flowers? Yes? No, hands up. Yeah, meaning more romantic people, but yes. Yeah. When you give someone flowers, does it die just like that? Not 2 seconds. It takes a little while to see the result of it being broken off from the place where it was getting life. And likewise, the people in the world that have made that, bowed their knee to Satan, bowed their knee to self, to serve the world and the world system, It takes a little bit of time for, but not very long, but it takes a little bit of time for them to start to realize the consequence of their choice. Okay, now when the realization comes, and now you realize if you're in the world, think like a worlder for a second. If you're in the world and you realize you have no life in you, and you refuse to bow your knee before the king, the kingdom, the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, where now can you get life? Where's your other alternative? Where else can you get life from? From where? You can go back to the door. No, but if they refuse, all right, now they refuse, think of this. They refused truth. They refused Christ Jesus. But they still need to exist and there's no life in them. Where do they now get their life from? From where? But the world has no life in it either. Okay, temporarily. Okay, where now can they get their life from? Okay. From where? Who said? Okay, I'll give you a clue. I'm looking at it. From you. Because why? Why from you? Because you are connected to the source of life. Because of the fact that you are still in the vine, you still have life in you. But the only thing is that when they come to try to get life from you, is to try to sustain themselves in their allegiance to the world. So like a gas station, you know, you go through, you have your cars. With the cars in the petrol shed, yeah. Sorry. Okay, for the follower of Christ Jesus, you are connected to the source of life, the life of God just always flowing. You have an unlimited supply of the Spirit of God just flowing through you. But the people of the world are like those CTB buses. They get depleted out and they have to go fill back up. And the way that they fill up is by sucking life off of you. Oh, now it's starting to make sense. Now your interactions with people are starting to make sense. Now you begin to see why you go out and all of the things that happen, all of the games that are played, all of the things that are attempted at your expense are for what purpose? To take life from you. This is why too, the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth.
(Clears throat)
you listen to His voice, because His voice will keep you out of those situations, will show you the way through those traps. Because God has us in the world for a reason right now. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But He intends for us to be here because there's a mission and a mandate that He has for His people at this time. But you live in a world of vampires. You live in a world where basically they're seeking to suck the life out of anything that has life. But the Spirit of God, God has assigned angels to His people, and He has assigned protection where there's a limitation to what they can do. In fact, if it wasn't for God's protection, none of us would have made it even today. Because again, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If He could have stolen, killed, and destroyed you, He would have done it by now. So 1 Peter 5:7-8, which is that the devil's like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. So don't put your head inside his mouth. Make a willful choice to follow the voice of the Spirit of God. And also realize that the world is structured in such a way to harvest your life from you. So they seek to rob, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But you are the one that ultimately, it's you that they're after. You think through the scriptures, why were all of these world leaders and world kings so obsessed with these ragtag bunch of people that had nothing in the world as such? I had a friend send me the other day of some of the attacks going on in Orissa right now. Why would they care so much about a few people in a building singing some songs? Why would there be so much opposition and so, to a few small little ladies getting together for tea? Unless they realize in the realm of the Spirit that those four little old ladies have more power in them than the entire presidents of all the world combined. And the demons that they serve say, you must stop them. You must do everything you can to never let them have another glass of tea. And encourage each other in the Lord. You must do everything that you can to keep them from ever praying again. Because when they pray, the very second heavens and the foundations of the kingdom of the devil are shaken to the core, and they spend decades trying to repair what happened. The realization for us is that you Just you, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just you, in connection to the Spirit of God, can change the world. And it's time that you realize and grab a hold of what God intended for you this day. So God knows what He's doing with His church. God knows what He's doing with His people. And God knows what He's doing with you. So now is the time to bow your knee before the King, under the dominion of the King. To align your life with truth. And to always seek His face. And like God said, draw unto me and I will draw unto you. Like Jesus said, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And with that, we are out of time. So, stop there for today.